Hi, this is LaJuan Lowry. Every month, the paying subscribers of The Glenn Show get to submit questions to Glenn and John McWhorter, which they address in an hour-long bonus episode. We decided to start sharing segments of this monthly feature with free subscribers as well. Here is this month's preview. If you want to access the full Q&A, and if you want to submit questions of your own, please subscribe at glennlowry.substack.com. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Glenn Lowry of The Glenn Show with John McWhorter, my conversation partner. We are doing our monthly response to readers at Substack and viewers at YouTube and listeners at your podcast provider of choice. People who subscribe to The Glenn Show get to ask questions every month. And here we are responding to questions for the month of March. So, hey, welcome, John.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. And folks, I'm sitting in front of my St. John's University poster. And because of some feedback I've gotten that it seems like I'm trying to make it seem like I went there. I did not go there. Somebody just sent me the poster. I forget who. I just like the poster. So anyway, that's it.
John didn't go to St. John's. Keep track of that. John is a professor at Columbia University, and he does write for the New York Times. I should have mentioned. I'm a professor at Brown University, and I'm a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, which sponsors The Glenn Show, which I want everybody to know. So let's get to the questions. John. Okay. This is Scott Alex. His question has two parts. First, it's been 12 years since the death of Trayvon Martin. What happened between 2012 and 2024? Where are we now? Where are we going? Can we point to similarities or patterns like ours that appear throughout our short history? That's question one. Question two, regarding where are we now, what are the positive consequences of the Black Lives Matter and woke movements? So what do you make of the last 12 years on the race questions, John, with police violence and all of that? And what do you think, if anything, is a positive with respect to BLM and the woke?
You know something, Glenn? I think there's been nothing positive since then. And I hate to say that about Black Lives Matter, because my instinct is to say that it's helped raise awareness of what's wrong with the cops. And there is something wrong with the cops. But Trayvon Martin, with what social media was like then, was a totemic event in the racial history of the United States. You had no idea at the time, but looking back, that was when a certain idea became entrenched, not only just in the Black community, but beyond. The basic idea that a defining element of being a Black person is that you're always in terror of the police, and that by and large, we can think of the police as defined by a subliminal bias against Black people that expresses itself in tight situations with the pulling of a trigger. That being something that white people assume too, so that it's for many people, it's considered just unassailable wisdom. That starts with Trayvon Martin, and the basic frame, the basic clip that runs in people's heads of Trayvon Martin is that George Zimmerman takes out a gun and shoots him while he's walking through the darkness with some Skittles. Whereas that's not what happened. Trayvon Martin got the best of George Zimmerman and was slamming his head on the pavement, and Zimmerman got scared and fired his gun in self-defense. Now, whatever you think of whether Zimmerman should have been there in the first place, et cetera, it's not that Trayvon Martin got shot for walking around with Skittles, but that's what a lot of people still think now. A lot of that started then, and then Black Lives Matter has good intentions, but still, it's all about the idea that you and me are in a significant amount of danger from interactions with the cops, that if we get stopped in a car by a cop, we're quaking in our boots, that if we move our hand the wrong way, we're going to get shot. Those are realities for some people, and egregious things happen, but almost everything that happens to Black people happens to white people at the hands of the cops, too. And the facts are simply more complicated than we've been led to think. And I consider it, I'm very close to Dunglin, I consider that to be the most difficult roadblock in the conversation about race. The whole cop question makes it hard to have a conversation about anything else. And that really ticked upward in 2012 with the way the Trayvon Martin murder, which is what it was covered. And Black Lives Matter hasn't helped. It's hard. We have a race conversation, which if you rolled the tape backwards and went again, would be very different. That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said. I think of a couple of things. I think, for example, of Roland Fryer's less well-known policing study, a comprehensive assessment of the impact on crime in cities that have been the sites for what he calls viral police killing incidents, like Ferguson, Missouri, or Minneapolis, Minnesota, where a kid gets killed by a cop and there's a big controversy about it. And then the feds get called in for a compliance review kind of assessment of the racism or lack thereof of the police department. And I can't go into the details because it's technical, but basically Roland asked the question, can we identify the impact of these incidents which go viral and then elicit intervention by the federal justice department for local police departments on subsequent crime? And he finds that there's a big negative in the sense of subsequent crime is higher than it otherwise would have been in the cities which are the sites for these controversies where the feds intervene. And he speculates, but not without evidence to support the speculation, that the reason for the spike in homicides and assaults and so on in such cities is because the police behavior in those cities is more cautious and less actively engaged in crime fighting, so that they make fewer stops. They're recruiting problems and the staffing and things of this kind. The critical attention to policing has had the consequence in those circumstances of increasing the vulnerability of the populations to criminal offending. Most of those populations are Black. He has, like, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's like 700 or 800 additional homicides of Black people that he attributes to the causal effect, as he identifies it, of federal interventions and local police departments where there are the interventions are instigated by responding to viral police killing incidents. He's not for the police killing. He's not against holding them accountable. He's just saying that the atmosphere that's created net effect on criminal victimization is negative in the way in which I described. So I think that that's one thing to bear in mind. I think we got so-called Soros DAs, in part because of Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and George Floyd, and so on. That is, activists, left Democrat people elected to the district attorney's office who changed the emphasis of the district attorney's offices to de-emphasize the enforcement of law against criminal offenders, so that you get, you know, shoplifting problems in cities that are not being met with law enforcement and so on. The philosophy of a Larry Krasner in Philadelphia or of a Chesa Boudin in San Francisco and others. And you've seen negative reactions from the voting public to some of this shift in law enforcement that's animated by a Black Lives Matter friendly philosophy. I don't much care for Black Lives Matter as a social movement, not only because of the effects that I've identified, which is delegitimizing policing and fostering an environment in which law enforcement is less effectively applied to try to maintain order, but also because of what they stand for. I read their charter. I read their anti-capitalism. I read their hatred of Western civilization and so on as I read it. I read their contempt for the nuclear family. I read their embrace of every, it seemed to me, avant-garde, new age cultural impetus that I don't know that it is that is at all healthy for the long term prospects of the African American community. So I mean, I could go on down the list. What do we think the reaction of white people has been to the advent of Black Lives Matter? To what extent is a kind of partisan divide amplified by the racialization of the police killing problem. You're right to say that more whites than blacks are killed by police in the country every year, a lot more. I'm on the record as advocating de-racializing this whole discussion about police. Policing is a public activity that affects the population broadly, and anything that we would have to say about policing, about holding police accountable, about their inappropriate use of violence against citizens, can be formulated in a way that doesn't pose the question as a question of race. And I'm in favor of doing that.